Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh, and this is CougarCast. Thank you very much for listening wherever you are. Tosh, how are you doing?
Life is good.
Yeah, you know, besides the football team being terrible in every single way, and I mean literally every single way, you're doing okay.
I think right now, as BYU fans, that's the weird thing. I think we've had to... None of us can use BYU to give us this, like, false emotional support right now. Right now, it is all about just other things in your life for joy, because BYU brings me no joy.
There is no joy in Mudville. Well, I hope that other people are finding joy. Tosh, we've gotten a couple really nice emails, and including a really passionate fan of the CougarCast, a big fan of the show. And I don't know if you saw this, Tosh, but we had a question that came in, and we got asked if we would do like a live CougarCast.
Okay.
So that people could phone in and be part of that. So really cool idea, and I think you and I would be down for it, do a little Q&A.
Totally.
and hear other people's ideas and thoughts. The question is if we set up a time when people would want to do it, is, you know, nighttime the best? Tosh and I usually do it during the day, and are more than just our friend on Twitter. Are we going to get more than just that engagement? So if you have any opinions on that, tweet at us at CougarCast, also CougarCast@gmail.com. You can get in touch with us in those ways. Tosh. BYU is terrible. I just want to go over a couple things with you really fast on this, just really fast. Everyone knows all the numbers and everything that's bad, but there's just a couple things that we should talk about. Ball security, Tosh. Ball security been huge this year.
Yeah.
For BYU.
No, last year we really were great at the turnover margin. This year we're terrible.
We're really, really bad when it comes to turnover margin. Right now, 17 total turnovers and 390 total plays on the year. So that's a turnover every 23 plays.
That's not good.
Not good. Not good. To give a little breakdown, Tanner Mangum is averaging an interception every 21.3 pass attempts. Not great. However,
if you're throwing for a lot of touchdowns, maybe you can live with that. But
yeah,
that's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. However, that is much, much better than all of his backups, because the combined numbers of his backups is every 9 pass attempts they get to throw a pick.
But Coy's really pushing that one direction.
Coy heard it, but it's still going to be – it's 29 passes with 3 picks.
Chris Lowe is yet to have a turnover.
Okay.
That guy is turnover free for the whole season.
He also has an adjusted 1.4 yards per pass attempt so far. But your boy Critchlow is going to be, he's hot fire someday. But no, the point is, though, Coy puts that up a bit, but even Bo Hodge, you know, 29 pass attempts, the guy has 3 picks. That's just
not good.
That's like 9 attempts and a pick. So that's bad. But the curious thing here is that number is really driven up, too. On the rushing the ball side, Ula Tulatau, he's averaging a fumble every 19 carries.
Yeah, he needs to get that fixed.
You can't be the feature back if you're going to be a guy that fumbles and loses it at least once a game. Right?
And my other
I have no patience. Interceptions I live with a little bit better, because it's just part of the thing. If you're throwing downfield and you throw a pick, like short field interceptions drive me crazy. Like interceptions where you're throwing it to the outside and the guy jumps the route, like that drives me nuts. But if you're throwing downfield, which most of Tanner's have been that actually this year, a downhill throw or downfield throw that turns into a pick, I live with that a little bit better than the other kind. But fumbles, I just have no patience for.
They kill you, because, I mean, they just always give the other team good field position. The other side of things is that with running backs, I love a running back that can break a big play,
right?
And that doesn't fumble. And this year we've had zero. We've had zero big running plays. Zero.
Yeah, like Fanua against. I think he had like a 30-yard run against Portland State.
Yeah, but I'm not even counting dang Portland State. But okay. Yeah, that's the only – we're grasping straws. And that we've got zero big running plays and tons of fumbles. Last year, we were freaking spoiled. Jamal was the king of breaking big runs, and that guy never fumbled.
Right. He had one his entire career. Olatulatau has three through six games that he's played in. Actually, five. He's only played in five. So that's a problem. Curiously, though, one fumble between Squally and Riley Burt, who's had a couple carries now, and Fanua and Dye and all these guys, only one fumble
those
between
guys aren't
them.
Fumbling.
So one fumble and 127 rushes, but again, no explosiveness at all. We're going to talk a little bit about explosiveness in this. Tosh, one other thing I wanted to just do a quick takedown of. I don't know how many times I've seen this take and I've heard this take, but it drives me crazy. You may even believe this take, but I've seen a variation of this is Jonah Trinneman should run it out of the end zone every time because it's our best opportunity to score.
I don't know. That I understand the sentiment, but I mean, it's not like he's had any really big ones either.
No.
He had the one almost big one against Utah.
Yeah, he's averaged 19 yards per kickoff return.
Yeah.
That's 90th of the 100 people that qualify for the kickoff return stat.
That's bad.
I mean, he's bringing it out of the end zone at the five. At the five, he's making some sort of goofy cut to take a wide angle to break it to the outside.
The guy's dang fast, but our blocking is atrocious at every single – any way you look at our blocking this year has been bad.
Just take a knee, or maybe we need to try someone else back there to return
it. This reminds me on the one thing I'll say. I actually think Ty did some pretty good new play calling. We've been calling for screens forever.
Yeah.
And then last game, he mixes in a few screens, and they look like they caught the defense so off guard. It was picture perfect. Blockers ahead of him, tons of space. Our blockers just whiff. And he doesn't even get the first down. And so, like, man.
It's both. There's definitely a thing. Ty Detmer did make a few adjustments. I do think it's hilarious that on the game plan, on the whiteboard for Mississippi State, he wrote third down equals Al-Bakri time. I don't know what that decision was about, but apparently that was a big solve for third down.
He had the biggest run of the game, though. A 7-yard run to start the game.
It's a great run. He really busted it, Al-Bakri. I don't mind Braden Al-Bakri. I think he's fine. I just, you know, if that is your solution to solve some things, there's some problems there. I think the same problem, though, exists, Ty, or Tosh.
Ty.
Yeah, hey. But the same problem exists is I still think, and I had this theory last week. I gave some numbers behind it. But Ty Detmer does not know how to make adjustments. The offense does worse as the game goes along. Their worst quarter in terms of productivity this season has been the third quarter. And so they come out of the locker room and they're worse.
Yeah.
Not great. It's a bad sign in terms of like overall for the offense. So I think there's some issues with all of those things. And despite the fact that I think every BYU fan would agree that we're basically bad at everything. Every facet of the game of football right now, we're not good at. There's nothing to say that we're good at. We're not good at rushing the passer. We're not good at none of it. Most BYU fans think we got a great weekend in front of us at East Carolina.
Well, they're a bad team. We're playing a team that I think is worse than us, and so that's why I like our odds. Before we totally go to East Carolina, I got a quick question.
Oh, sure.
For if you were to say, can you name, because I think there are, I don't want to get lost in this crap hole of a season so far. If there's anybody that real quick that you think has exceeded your expectations.
Tonga. Kyrus Tonga is the only one.
Kyrus Tonga, yeah. That would be one. The only other one that I think has exceeded my expectations.
Simon? Micah Simon? No, you thought he was good.
I thought he was good. I mean, there's been some guys that Tua Tau's played pretty good. He has fumbles, but I expected that. I expected him to be good. Same with the other guys that are doing okay.
Bo Tanner?
Kyrus Tonga is the only one.
It's Tonga,
right?
That's
it. Who do you think has Who do you think has maybe regressed some?
Well, there's the really obvious answer. It's Mangum.
Yeah.
I think Tanner Baldery's had a much worse year. I don't know why we're not using that guy.
Yeah.
Can I just, on a side, like Matt Bush.
He gets forgot about.
Matt Bushman's really good. I get that. Throw out Matt Bushman, fine. But he put him in the slot and stuff like that. But Baldery last year was the most explosive receiver BYU had last year. And again, you know, I keep seeing a whole lot of, well, last year it was fool's gold because we had Taysom. It's like, no. No, we sucked at passing with Taysom Hill, too. Our most explosive receiver was Tanner Baldery, for heaven's sakes. But the point is like, it was really all about Jamal and being able to run.
It was a run game.
And now that you have zero ability to run, I mean, the Cougars are averaging 3.3 yards per carry this year. Like, that's so, so, so bad. If you can't run, then you can't do much of else. So, in terms of people that have gone backwards, Squally Kennedy was supposed to be better. You remember when I asked you if I said he was? I said he was at best going to be JJ DeLuigi, and you thought that was a huge insult.
But
JJ DeLuigi was better.
Oh yeah, JJ's career is laughing at Squally's career so far.
Yeah.
Here's one that I have a hard time with because I actually think he's still one of our better players, and I think he'll play in the league. But Talkie Talkie, his production has regressed. From a production standpoint, he's not in the same stratosphere of where he used to be.
Yeah, the problem is who do you – he's getting doubles.
Yeah.
And you
he's
have –
he's our only good pass rusher.
I mean, there's two guys that you have to block.
Other good pass
That's
rushers.
Right. Yeah. But beyond that is I also just think that it's easy to be good when things are going good and play hard when things are going well. And I sniff a little bit of complacency with some players who things aren't going well. And so I don't have to kill myself on this. Just watch it. Against Mississippi State, guys running off the field after the other team scored or getting off the field because they have to punt and all this stuff. There isn't any... You know, I know that you don't want them to like be panicking and stuff, but there's a different look to it.
Agreed.
There isn't this like.
And some
well,
of that is just normal human things. When they've made big plays and then it just still doesn't turn into anything.
Right.
After a while, that would just beat you down.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So, all of those things are problematic. East Carolina, can we do it?
Let's do it.
All right, Tosh. I've been afraid and have not really. You and I have not really gone into a massive personnel breakdown when it comes to the opposing team, simply because it was sort of a silly practice. When you know BYU is not executing at a level to play, you know now it looks like this is maybe a coin toss game. To me, it's a coin toss game.
Okay.
I think most BYU fans think that this is, what, a 70% chance win?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Probably a pulse on the
fan
base.
All right, so let me make the argument quickly. A couple things. first of all, East Carolina has a pretty good quarterback. His name's Thomas Cirque. Okay, now he's been benched because he hasn't been lights out, but he's been better than the guy in front of him. He has a 120 a quarterback rating, and like I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm pining for somebody as good as Thomas Cirque. Thomas Cirque is getting 245 yards per game. That's 38th nationally in passing. And the great combination is Thomas Cirque to his wide receiver, Devon Grayson. Devon Grayson is averaging 90 yards per game. He gets the ball about five times per game. He's a great athlete. Beyond that, they have five players on their team that are averaging over 15 yards per catch. So they can beat you downfield. They can throw the football. And I think that BYU has shown that they're vulnerable against the pass. This year they're giving up 7.6 yards per attempt defensively. So when teams throw against them, they're getting 7.6 yards. And that is good for 96th. Nationally in pass defense. So, Tosh, I think that East Carolina is going to be able to pass, and I think that they're going to be able to be successful passing
totally.
The football.
I agree.
And I also think that BYU, 1-6, they were supposed to be vastly different. East Carolina was supposed to be maybe just a little bit better, but most people had them at maybe 2 or 3 wins at their wildest dreams at this point. BYU under... What the worst case scenario has played out?
Yes.
Mentally, these teams, I think, are in different places, even though they both have the same record. And then the last thing is East Carolina has something that BYU doesn't, an FBS win. They beat Connecticut. And we just played at Mississippi State on the road.
Got beat up.
Came back.
Warner didn't finish the game, our best player.
Got beat up, came back home, and now we're going to fly all the way back across the country. And there are plenty of stats and studies that have shown that going from the west to the east is really difficult, much, much more difficult than going east to the west. And in the NFL, if teams have to go east coast 2 weeks in a row, you always bet against that team. They always get smoked. So I think there's plenty of reasons. There's really no reason for BYU fans to take anything for granted the way that they are right now when it comes to playing East Carolina. I was worried about this game before the year when I thought we were good.
Just from a schedule standpoint. So here's the thing that a lot of, again, just adding to what you said, that a lot of fans aren't realizing. Yes, we're 1-6, and yes, they're 1-6, but we have had a completely different problems. We are, I would rate us just terrible offensively and below average defensively.
Yes.
And that has ended in us being 1-6. Their 1-6 is a very different look. They are actually pretty great offensively.
Great is pretty generous.
Compared to us. We get 242 yards per game. They get around 400.
Yeah, that's
so true. They're almost double us offensively. But then defensively, as bad as we are, they are the worst defensive team I think I might have ever seen. They're average. So as bad as we've been defensively this year, we've given up 393 yards per game. They have given up 600.
Yeah.
600. I'm not exaggerating that number at all. They have given up 600 yards per game.
Tosh, they're giving up 10.7 yards per attempt on pass defense this
year. Freaking wild. So
that's a first down anytime somebody drops back. That's over a first down anytime somebody drops back.
And it's not like they've played insane. They played okay teams. What I will say that does make me excited to watch this game, but also worries me about BYU's chances. I think this is the first game this year I think is going to be a shootout. But can BYU's offense have any chance in a shootout?
A BYU shootout this year is like what? They score 27 points?
That'd be amazing. But their East Carolina's offense has been able to score on whoever they've played
this year. Yeah, I think that's right. I think East Carolina is going to be able to score. So the question is you've got East Carolina's strength is offensive. BYU's strength is defensive. So we've got strength on strength and weakness on weakness. And so the question is somebody's strength much better than the other team's strength? And it sounds to me that you think that maybe East Carolina's offense is a little better than BYU's defense. Is that what it sounds like?
Enough that they'll score points.
Okay, that they'll score points. So then let's talk about strength or weakness versus weakness, okay?
It's hard to say.
Which one is worse, BYU's offense or East Carolina's defense?
So here's some stats on that. We're averaging, what, like 10 points a game right now? Right around there.
Yep.
10 points something. They're averaging giving up well over 50 points a game.
Right.
They've given up over 63 times. And then the other two was 34 and 41. Like, their defense can't stop anybody.
No.
And so this game is wild. It's like two opposite teams, but with the same record and that are both bad. And so did you ever think, oh, 2 1-6 teams would be a better, more intriguing matchup than this?
Well, no. I think, Tosh, that it's worth considering that, first of all, I don't know what we can learn from this. So if things go well, and let's say Tanner Mangum suddenly looks refreshed and things are coming together. But can you just suddenly, because you're playing somebody bad, if you've got bad habits, bad principles, you're not picking blocks the way you're supposed to, you're not completing, there are several drops against Mississippi State. I actually thought Tanner actually took a little bit of a step forward against Mississippi State. He was still not very
good. Baby step, but yeah.
But just a little bit forward. Because he hit hands and they were getting dropped. And he was making better
his
reads.
His touchdown pass was his best.
That was sick.
That was his best
touchdown. That was really good.
His best throw of the year.
That was a nice rip. Yeah. No, it was one of those things where I just think that maybe they can build a little bit and go there. But when you have bad habits and you just don't have things kind of executing just right, a defense still beats bad offense, I feel like. Or is their defense just that terrible? Like, they just can't tackle anybody.
But you could say defense beats offense for both sides. Like, since our defense right. is kind of our strength. So who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
So wild card game, maybe. So it sounds like seems like you probably like BYU here.
But, I mean,
but
it is hard.
It's a wild card game, right? Second week, long trip, on the road. And who knows? Maybe
here's
things come together for East Carolina.
You're going to like, but I don't know if our sure. listeners will, which this is always great to do. This reminds me, think back to like the 90s when you'd watch Saturday morning WWF mm-hmm. yeah. on normal TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they would never have Superstars. The good guys fight each other.
Right.
It would be, you know, the Undertaker against like
the
Bill Smith.
Sure, yeah.
And that he beats Bill Smith in like...
By the way, I love Bill Smith.
In like
I always marked
minutes.
Out for those guys.
Yeah, I always wanted those
There's
guys.
There's a guy named Barry Horowitz.
This giant, tough-looking human.
Right.
And he's fighting the guy that just looks like he could be like your school teacher
sure.
or your principal.
He probably is a school teacher local in the town.
WWF got away from these sort of fights. Now that never happens. It's always famous guy against famous guy. But growing up...
They just have famous jobbers now. But yes, anyway.
But yeah, it was just... It was crazy to watch. I feel like somehow I've tuned into WWF on a Saturday, and they've got two of the jobbers against each other.
The Brooklyn Brawlers taking on Barry Horowitz?
Yeah, this week it's Bill Smith versus like Vern McGriff, and it's like, who are these guys, and how can you predict who's going to win, because they have no strengths. You know, like, it's just whose weaknesses are worse. That's the fight we're seeing.
We're all going to be like, oh, that's his finishing move. We had no idea. You nailed it. I loved that. I loved it so much. You have no idea how much I loved that. And that was fantastic. Tosh, this segment has been gone all year, but I'm springing it on you.
Nice.
It's time for the return of 10 for Tosh. Tosh, 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. These are not opinion, they are fact. Question number one, how many BYU players are averaging 13 yards from scrimmage? I said earlier that 5 ECU players are averaging over 15 yards from scrimmage. How many BYU players are averaging 13 yards? And I use 13, it's Halloween. 13 yards from scrimmage. How many BYU players are doing that?
One.
Answer, zero.
Jeez.
Zero. None of them. Question two. By the way, that was fact, though. One.
after this game, it will be one.
It'll be one after this game. Yeah, Micah Salmon is closest. Question two. East Carolina, okay, their defense averages, they give up 28 first downs per game. The BYU offense averages 12 first downs per game. So the question is, how many first downs is BYU going to get against that East Carolina defense?
12.
Oh, right on average. BYU is going to be right on average.
Yeah,
ooh, that's bad, Tosh.
I know.
That's a loss, if that, in my opinion.
Possibly. I think our defense... Anyway, but 12. I think, though, here's the difference. We're going to have some big plays. For the first time this season, we're going to have some guys wide open.
So well, we've had guys wide open.
We will have. We'll hit them. We will have big plays, but not. We're not going to have long extended drives. I'm not. That is not our offense.
Why? Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Why are we calling plays in a way then that is
built
that is relying on these plotting
it's not
short? None of those things are working. They need to start going downfield and trying to be explosive. Totally,
Amen.
Totally agree. Question number three. So you have them right at the average. So East Carolina's 28 average, that's going to go down. It's going to be like a party for that Pirates defense. Question number three, BYU. It's an over-under question. BYU, as you know, 13 straight games without getting 200 yards passing. It is the second longest streak in the entire country, and it is twice as long as of teams that don't run the option, it's twice as long in that stretch. So the next longest one is 6 games. So, Tosh, over under 200 passing yards.
Over.
Oh my gosh.
This is the game.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have some long pass plays for the first time this season.
Sure.
We've had maybe one or two. I can think of one.
Shumway?
Well, we had a big post play over the middle.
Yeah.
And
Bo Hodge hit that.
Yep.
You're also thinking they had one pretty long one against Mississippi State as well. Anyway.
And this week, I think we go for over 250. This is the East Carolina's. They are terrible against the pass.
Yeah.
And we're going to break some long pass plays.
Literally terrible. In fact, the worst. They are literally the worst team in America.
I mean, us getting 250 is still well below their 326 average.
It sure is. Okay, so you think we're going to finally break that horrible streak, easily the longest of the modern era of BYU football and easily the longest among non-option teams in the country. Question number four, BYU has failed to reach 21 points without the assist of a defensive touchdown. Will BYU score a defensive touchdown this week?
Yes. We have defensive playmakers, and I've been wondering where had Dian been all season. Like last year, that guy was a playmaker. I think he's coming into his own.
Turns out if the quarterback throws it straight to him, he can catch that, make a play.
I mean, he was in the right place.
Yes, yep.
And the guy made a play. How often do you see guys drop those? I think, yes, we will get a defensive touchdown this week.
All right. So you think over 21 then, probably?
Yes.
Okay. East Carolina, question number five. East Carolina quarterback Thomas Sark, 245 yards passing. That's 38th nationally. That's what he averages. How many yards is Thomas Sark going to throw against the BYU defense? Sark, excuse me. It's Sark, not Sark.
250.
Right on. Just a little over.
A little, yeah. Right. We're going to... They're going to match. This game's going to be close. We're going to pass for 250. They're going to pass for 250.
Question number six. Who will have more punts, East Carolina or BYU? Austin Barnes, the East Carolina punter, 38 punts through seven games. BYU's Johnny Linehan has 37 punts through seven games. But remember, he was supposed to punt it once and did not. So it should be tied exactly. More punts, though. I've been waiting all year to watch those Cougars walk into Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium out there at East Carolina University. I've been hoping for a punt off all year. Who's going to win? How many more?
We will have more punts.
We're going to have more punts than them.
Here's the thing that a lot of people didn't realize last game: Corey Edwards actually did one of our punts.
Did he really?
We punted
more than them.
Yeah, okay. One of our Linehan was not in the game for one punt last time. It was going to be a trying to catch them off guard because he's a lefty, and it was a run punt option to the left, but he decided to punt it. And then so no one even noticed that we had a different punter back there. But anyway, little known fact, Corey Edwards took one of our punts last game.
Interesting. I did not know that. Also, why are we screwing around? Things are already complicated enough as they stand, but anyhow. Okay, question number seven. How many times will Kalani blame defensive woes on the offense?
None this week, but multiple times more this season. But this is not the game that's going to happen, because I think this game, the defense will look worse than the offense, and so we'll have 0 times this game.
Short rant. I think that's a bullcrap thing for him to talk about.
He's been taking a lot of beef because of it. What I will
I've been very hard on him on Twitter.
Our offense on a scale of 1 to 10 has been a 1.
Oh, sure.
Our defense has been a 4,
uh-huh.
And maybe if they had a better offense, they'd be a 6. So I can understand a tiny sliver of where he's coming from, but he's got to have better awareness to realize that he's just ticking people off when they see teams just going down the field on first possessions of halves of games, and that's nothing to do with the offense.
Mississippi State scored 5 touchdowns. One of them was the opening possession. One of them was the first possession out of halftime.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the third one came after we had a pick, a drive, and then we had a turnover. Then we had it, and we scored a touchdown. So, like, there was, like, 7 minutes of game time without them coming on. Then Mississippi State comes on and scores. So, you know, Kalani, it's not necessarily that your defense is tired. It's also that they're just not
there's
that
a
good.
Sliver of truth to it, but it's not coming across well.
Question number 8. Joe Critchlow, is he going to have a play? How many snaps will he take under center?
0. I want to see some more Critchlow, but this is not the game. This is going to be Tanner's best game, and it's going to be a shootout, so Critchlow's not getting it.
I feel like if Tanner doesn't... What's the hook on Tanner Mangum?
In this game, if we have under 7 points, or if we have under 10 points at the half, we're going to see Critchlow. If he can't score against East Carolina, we might not see Tanner again this year.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think that would be totally deserved. At the same time, Ty Detmer has not really had the guts to pull a quarterback in the first or second. It's always been, you know, at the end of the game to give somebody like a possession. Yeah. He hasn't actually benched somebody at any point.
Nope.
Question number 9, Austin Kafensis. Is he actually going to pass the ball?
No.
That's like, such bullcrap, man.
So the joke.
What's the point of even doing the Wildcat with him anymore? Because it's getting, I mean, the dive to the ball when that guy stands out there is ridiculous now.
We've pushed this to such a level that maybe now we actually catch teams off guards because they're thinking they've got to pass at some point. So Ty has actually pushed this to a level that no one has ever seen where it might
nobody
actually
can be
start
that ridiculous.
Tricking teams that we don't ever pass with him.
Tosh, I'm springing it on you, but question 10. Sunday morning headline, we'll read.
Pirates, Cougars,
booty.
End in tie.
It's a tie game? Or ending tie?
No, there we go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Okay, there it is. That is 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. And Tosh, I will turn the floor over to you. I want you to make 3, even though we just did 10 for Tosh, your 3 biggest things that you're going to be watching for and a final score for me.
So thing number 1 is, will we be able to pass the ball? Because if we can't, then there will be giant changes. I already said, if we can't pass the ball, I don't know if we see Mangum again. I think that we'll have coaches fired and things if we can't pass the ball against this team. So that's thing number 1 I'm looking for. Can we pass the ball? 2, do we get any sort of pass rush? We've only had 1 game against Utah State where I felt like we had an even average pass rush. You cannot win games in this era of football if you give the quarterback time.
Especially going to be huge against East Carolina. Cirk to Grayson. That's huge.
So the thing number 2 I'm watching is, can we get any sort of consistent pass rush?
Yep.
Thing number 3 that I am really watching is, are our receivers able to make some guys miss and get some yards after the catch? We've been really hounding on 0 big pass plays, but part of that is, I mean, most teams on simple out routes will occasionally break those for a big play. Like, we've had 0 of those. We've had 0 small pass plays turn into big ones. We need that to start happening against this lesser defensive opponent. If we can't do that, then we need to be the first team in history that just starts from scratch next year.
Yeah, we can't. Why can't we have a player that's slippery out there? I mean, I guess like Neil Pau is like the closest
we've
had.
He's made like
that.
A guy miss. Like on those screen plays, he's been pretty good at making the first guy miss.
Well, but he does this thing where he jukes. It's always to the left and then spin move.
Yeah.
Every time. That's what he does every time. So there's a scouting report on how to tackle. Yeah, Tosh, I think that's right. I think my biggest question is of course. And there was a great tweet by Mark Duran, right? What happens when the unstoppable force hits the movable object? And that's really what's going to happen when that offense BYU offense plays East Carolina's defense. Ty Detmer, I just want to see something be executed with some reason throughout the game, and see that things don't regress as times go by. That's one of the biggest things that I want to see as we evaluate. The other thing is I'd like to see BYU, I mentioned this last week, but if they don't get up early in this game, and if it's a little bit of a dogfight and stuff, I think that's going to hurt them really bad.
If we're in it, that's one thing. If we're down, I think we might see the wheels come off.
Yeah. Yeah, if East Carolina came out, let's say they had like a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and then they scored.
If they're up 17-0.
If they get up 14-0 and it's the, you know, beginning of the first, second quarter, it's like, ooh.
We might see fights on the sidelines.
Could be really bad. I don't know. Maybe they won't be. And then the third thing, though, yeah, I guess it's the psyche of the team. You know, it's easy to play hard when things are going well. Nothing's going well. You're playing against the team. You're across the country. There's a chance you can have more BYU fans in the stadium than East Carolina fans, from what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. The East Carolina head coach was concerned and asked East Carolina fans, please make your efforts to come out because BYU is going to have a good contingency in the crowd. I think that everything's in place for them to maybe have a good performance. But again, if they have any trouble along the way, I'll be curious to see how they respond to adversity, because they have not responded well all season long. And I'm not sure why I'd think otherwise. Final score prediction for me.
Okay.
BYU can't score. We all know they can't score. They opened, again, 6-point favorite against East Carolina, which is like insane. I think that's an insane number. BYU's getting 6 against somebody. That's a ridiculous number. But I predicted this before the season. I just think the two road games, I think we are truly flawed, and I just think that maybe a couple plays might go against them, or bad calls or whatever, and I'm not sure that they're very mentally tough. So I'm going to stick to my guns on this. I don't think BYU can score that many points. I think they'll get right at 21. 21, and I think East Carolina will score 31. 31-21 ECU.
I would be so that's gonna crush our program if that happens, but I'm not gonna be shocked if it does. I agree you don't.
Yeah, but it's a very real possibility.
The reality is, no one's yelling at you right now because we're shell-shocked as a fan base. No one's shocked if that happens.
And here's the last thing, Tosh, on this. This is my next prediction after that. If they lose 31-21 to East Carolina, if they lose to East Carolina, there still will be zero changes made in the program. That's my second follow-up prediction.
There's going to be a lot of heat, but I don't know. BYU's not they don't mix things up too easily. So here's my – if I could go 17-17 tie, I would. But in college football, that's not really how it happens. So I'm going to go –
Oh, man, if it was an overtime game, that's a horrible scenario for us. Feels like it, at least.
Yeah, no, every scenario, I don't know, though. I'm going to go with 24-17 we win. And that's a BYU.
I'm not mad at that either.
That's a BYU shootout right now. I think ECU's offense is good enough to score 17 on us. I think BYU, with a defensive touchdown, with a few big plays, we find ways to scrape 24 points.
So the defensive touchdown is the difference.
Yeah.
17 points against East Carolina, that's enough for me to know enough about the installation of the new pro-style offense, Tosh.
It's not going well.
Thank you very much for listening to this edition of CougarCast. If you enjoyed the show, please go give us a rating on iTunes. We would appreciate it. It helps other people find the show. Also, I've had people ask us to get us listed in other places, so we are now on Stitcher. If you'd like to hear us on Stitcher, and we're also working on getting us out on Spotify, Tosh. So
cool.
We are trying to give more and more places for you to listen to us. If you have a request in that way, shoot me an email, cougarcast@gmail.com. Let us know if you'd be interested in a live show, and get in touch with any of your feedback or any of your takes, and we will happily give them a read and perhaps discuss them on the show itself. Tosh, East Carolina Pirates.
Let's get our first FBS win.
We'd be leaving a group of only 11 teams without a win, Tosh.
Let's get out of that group.
Oh, jeez. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!